Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of The Other Side, and I am your host, Maggie Hughes. Today, we're going to be sitting in on a meeting between the groups of activists, associations, organizations, and the city staff for social services. Get yourself a pen and a piece of paper so you can write down some of these names so you know who the players are and what position they hold in the city. You've got 1 minute while this intro song plays.
Freedom of the press is only guaranteed when you own the press.
It's time to hear the other side of the news.
Communication breakdown. Pause for the message. Wake up. Every station is a gentrification. Global syndication is the shaping of the nation. ABC, Disney, NBC, GE, Murdoch is Foxy, and with a hint, he owns a pen, the camera, the sword, by a Coke, by a Ford, getting broke, getting bored.
The other side of the news.
What we want, what we need, what we want, what we need. But do we even know who plants the seeds? You think the media works for you, but it's a job for them. They're just selling fruit. Flim-flam diagram, data jam, handicap caught it. Yo, you bought it. A mind is a profitable thing to waste. You want another taste, babe? Till freedom is a rumor.
Okay, we're back. And the guests that we have are Julian Hendry, which is Director of the Employment and Income Support Branch. That's at 181 Main Street at Hess. That's the new building for OW. Peter Hutton, the co-facilitator and a representative for Solutions for Housing Action Committee. There's Bob Pertina, who's from Ward 2 Councillor. Paul Tilla, I believe. I didn't quite catch this man's name. He's from the Ontario government. Jack Brown, the Director of Ontario Works. Amanda Westwood, who is with the Ontario Association of Social Workers. Darlene Burkett, who is the chair of DANG, Disability Action Network. Bill Medeiros, who is with a group called Campaign for Adequate Welfare and Disability Benefits, and that acronym is CAWDB. Lots of acronyms in these groups. Mary Lee, also from the CAWDB. Ron Rowich, not quite sure on his last name, but he is a member of the CAWDB and an OW recipient. Cindy Sue McCormick, CAWDB, co-chair of OW and ODSP, the operational committee. Claire Freeman is with the Ontario Association of Social Workers and runs Interval House. Sally Palmer is also the Ontario Association of Social Workers. She's a professor at Mac University. Carol Ann Nelson is with the Tenants Advisory Committee. Elaine Perry is administration assistant to Jillian Burney. And we're going to start right off with Jillian introducing the changes. And the next speaker I think you hear will be Sally Palmer.
I'm Jillian Burney, and I'm the Director of Employment and Income Support Branch for the Ontario Works Program for the City of Hamilton. We promised that we would come back to give you an idea as to how we are going to be or plan to do the application process for the Ontario Works Program, given the closure of the ISU, and we will go into the agenda, starting with OW-ODSP Operations Committee. Getting an update on our emergency shelter system in the city, as well as spending some time on the Ontario Works application process.
There were three items from the Matthews report. One of them was staff attitudes and behavior toward recipients, and I think that's being taken up at the operations level.
Mm-hmm.
Another was the clawback and clawback.
The NCB clawback?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the third one, the low level of social assistance rates, because we all know that the Ontario government brought down their budget this month, and there's nothing in it about even giving a cost of living increase, and also nothing in it about restoring the clawback, both things which they promised to do if they came in. So I just wanted to bring this up, and I know this is partly why we invited Mary Lee and Ron Wooldridge from the Campaign for Adequate Welfare, because they have first-hand knowledge of what it means to try and limp along without even a cost of living raise.
Okay, we had the increase, the 3% increase last October, and it amounted to $6 in my check for my basic needs, which isn't very much. But I live in subsidized housing, so it was geared to my income. Okay, but I thought this budget this had this month, he would index at 3%. And maybe sometime down the road in the next election, we can get another 3%. But it's really, really hard just trying to get by on $6 more. I went from $195 to $201 a month on basic needs. You know, I was trying to get by with food. I have to use the food banks, and I have to depend on the churches for my milk and bread and the food banks, the extra food. And I eat at a hostel in Hamilton. I have a meal card in my pocket that I pay $10 for at the Salvation Army, that I get one good meal a day for the whole month. That's what it's like being on Ontario Works with a $6 raise. I can't go to Fortino's with $6. I won't even get a bag. You know, I have to go to No Frills or Food Basics or a dollar store to pick up what I have to eat. So there's a lot of Kraft dinner in my fridge or my cupboards, and a lot of beans and wieners, especially near the end of the month. Right now, this time of the month, you have to depend on the churches and the food banks and the hostels to get something to eat, or I wouldn't survive. And I'm 59 years old, and I just wouldn't make it. It's really depressing sometimes, and I was falling through the cracks, okay? I have no computer skills, and I also have no license to get to a job. If it's in Caledonia, I have no way. So most of the jobs I see on the job bank that they moved over to Hasson, Maine, I want to apply for them, but I haven't got the qualifications. I just don't have them. And I just seen my worker a week ago, and we discussed it. So she did send me for a computer course for one day at St. Charles School on Yonge Street. And all they did was teach me how to turn it on and play with the mouse. So you can't learn nothing in 2 hours about a computer. It takes time, and I still don't know nothing about a computer. 5 years ago, I did Mr. Harris's workfare program, and I lasted a month during that program. It was for 6 months. I only lasted a month. Once they found out down on Barton and Wentworth Street at the school that I had a criminal record, they took me right out of the program and said, you're not going to lose your welfare for doing it, but we can't have you in this program. Mr. Harris's workfare program that you had to do 5 years ago. Now they have a new program out, Mr. McGinty, called Jobs Now. I have something to say about that afterwards. So $6 is not very much, but at least I talked to Jennifer Mossop about 3 weeks ago, and she said at least it's something we're trying to think of you people, and we're trying to give you more. But this budget was for health care, education, and you know, other things. But time, you know, another 3%, because we really, really need it. Most of my friends I hang around with are on Ontario Works and ODSP. The experience I get through the Campaign for Adequate Welfare and the meetings I go to and the people I meet that are even in this room, I go out and talk to these people out there in the real world after I leave here and tell them what people are doing and how it affects their lives and what people are trying to do to improve our standard of living, because I do live way, way below the poverty line.
Yeah, so if you're looking for a response, I mean, what can I say? Do I support the low levels of welfare assistance rates? No, I don't. But it's not, you know, it's not up to me. It's not up to anybody at the municipal level. It's we pay our share, but basically at the end of the day, it's the provincial government that makes the rules. Now, it's very difficult for me to come to council and advocate for a change in the welfare rates because it's an increase on the levy. So I'm almost in an impossible situation where, although I might believe that it's the right thing to do, I can't come forward almost and say that because I'm having then a cost to the taxpayer. So I'm in a bind in a way, you know, that I support it, but I really don't have a mechanism to raise it. That's why it's got to come from the community, and it's got to come from the community to elected officials, whether it's the municipal, the federal, or the provincial level. I hear what you're saying, and but I don't shop at Fortino's either. But it's not that I can't afford it; it's that I choose not to. But I've seen many people that can't have fresh fruit, they can't have fresh vegetables because they got no way to get to the store to get it, and the stuff at the convenience store that people can't afford. I've had the opportunity and the pleasure to serve dinner at the Good Shepherd many times and other places, and. You know, I make sure people, when they leave there, they take whatever's left on the table, because that's the first time some people have seen butter in forever. They'll never see butter on their plate or a fresh apple. So I know, I hear what you're saying, but it's going to take a lot of will, because it's expensive to, you know, to convince people to do it, because there's just not the willingness, I don't think.
That was Joanne Prowl, the Executive Director of Communities and Social Services in the city, making that comment. And response after this is Bob Bertina, the counselor for Ward 2.
The fact is that we struggled to get enough money this year, and we didn't get quite what we wanted, and it's going to be worse next year. So the political will doesn't seem to be there on behalf of the current government, who we hoped would be a beacon in the face of what we saw had gone on before. So I think we're going to have to do a lot of lobbying, but I think the municipalities can be helpful in this. We harangue them to do the right thing. We didn't quite get the right thing, but we got close. We're where the rubber meets the road, in a sense. I get the phone calls at my office from clients. They show up here, and we want to help them.
About people that live in poverty, that it's not their fault that they live in poverty, that there's reasons why people live in poverty, and what are the implications for those people living in poverty? Because there's lots of people in the community that are, you know, a big heart, smart people, but they think, well, hey, I was poor and I did all right, so, you know, so what's the matter with you? I mean, and that's an attitude out there that we're somehow going to have to demonstrate and try and get the community behind us to understand that even if you don't care about it for, you know, for Ron, even if it's not about Ron, then it's about your... You make an investment in people. When you make an investment in people, then we all win, and it's all as a payoff. So if you want to look at it as economic development strategy or whatever, there's a payoff, and it's an investment. It's not a cost. And Ron, about your job search stuff, I mean, I guess that's Jillian, whether you can respond in general terms to that.
I got to say I was really disappointed by the fact that they sent you, I assume it was an Ontario Works job website training, which is basically training you how to access website information concerning job search. And is that all that you were referred to? That was the end of it? Because I can understand that isn't going to take you very far.
Mrs. Pryle will recall a conversation I had with her regarding working poor. I work with people who only eat one meal a day because they're making so little money in a full-time job, and that's a disgrace.
It isn't, unfortunately, positive news as far as increase in rates, but something else has come out of the Deb Matthews report, and I'm not sure if you know or not, but as of August 1st, there has been a change in the earnings exemptions that Ontario Works participants can retain half of their earnings. And it's a very, very simple process in comparison to what it was, where it used to be 20% and this, that, and the other. And in time, you didn't get those exemptions at all. From here on in, once you've been on assistance for 3 months, you automatically are allowed to keep half your earnings. The second thing is they've also made an announcement that if people are going off Ontario Works because they have earnings, they can maintain health benefits. And that is also a very, very positive thing in encouraging people, because there are people who stay on the caseload just because they're concerned about their health benefits, mm-hmm. their family and everything. And it isn't going to be implemented until August. So that's going to give us time to think it through, how we're going to roll it out, because people aren't being penalized for having earnings to the same extent. It used to be that people were allowed to have earnings exemptions for 24 months, and at the end of those, their earnings were taken off dollar for dollar, and there were people who weren't eligible. It might have the opposite effect for some people too, but they're grandfathering that as well, so there won't be a negative impact to people who currently have the benefit of it. Deficit in shelter allowances, Carol Ann.
A single person 11 years ago was earning $325 for the shelter allowance. Okay, the landlords can increase the rent 2.9%. That same allowance was not given into the shelter allowance on those on Ontario Works or on Ontario Disability. So that year they were $9.42 short. Every year, government has allowed landlords to take those active rent increases but not give the same balance to those that are on Ontario Works, Ontario Disability, or even consider those that are on minimum wage. In the year 2005, after the 1.5%, we are still $117.01 short than what we should be if we'd gotten those increases according to the ones that the landlords had gotten. Those that are on Ontario Works and Ontario Disability need the most support. I know that minimum wage has not been up in a number of years. This is a crisis. This is why food bank is up. This is why people are being homeless. This is why the food banks are being over-indated. This one is Ontario Works, and this is what I would say my allowance is because I'm on Ontario Disability. In 1995, my money was $420 for the shelter allowance. This year, it should have been $571. That's $151.21 short on a single person, an Ontario Disability, who cannot make extra money, who cannot go out and earn a wage. And even if they did, $160 is not going to go very far when they're almost that short every month. Why we need some help, why we need the city council to go after the provincial government. consideration. That's not even the cost of living allowances. This is just the shelter allowance. The cost of living, a loaf of bread might have been 60 cents 11 years ago. Now it's $1.60. So those are not even, the food shelter allowance is not even in there.
I'm going to go out there and consult again about why this is a problem. We know why there's a problem. We know what the problem is. If we go out to consult, well, it's about the solutions and what can we put into place to find solutions.
Because this issue of poverty, even here in Hamilton, and some local politicians, they don't have those needs on the areas that they represent. And the same with the provincial and federal.
Jobs Now is being implemented. As you know, Hamilton is one pilot site, one of six pilot sites around the province. The province has contracted with a company. Their name is WCG International. Here in Ontario, the program, as you well know, is going to be called Jobs Now. I guess we have a target here in Hamilton. We are expected to refer 2,700 Ontario Works clients to that program by the end of January. So we are referring 277 clients at least per month to the program. What it is it's an employment placement program as well as a job retention program. So they've opened an office. Their office is on George Street at the old District Health Council building. There they do information sessions with our clients as well as counseling services, assessment and counseling services, very brief counseling services. They have a call center format, which is actually located in BC. And what they are doing is they are contacting employers in the Hamilton area, all over the province, in fact, to find job opportunities for our clients. So far in Hamilton, I know they already have well over 350 job opportunities. That doesn't mean job placements. It means possible places where Ontario Works clients can be placed. But their program isn't only employment placement. They have an emphasis on job retention services, and that is a very important piece of it, and that it is more of a challenge to keep people on the job than it is to place them in the job. And that can be because of employment barriers, all kinds of things. So that is where their focus is going to be. So far, I think one person has been placed, but it is early days. We started to refer people in April, and we're continuing to refer as we go along. The workers, basically, the thing is that it's predetermined who these clients are. They are not chosen by the worker. There's set criteria. They need to be on assistance for a cumulative amount of 12 months at least. Can't be involved in certain other employment activities because we don't want to take people off employment, other employment activities to be involved in it. For example, LEAP, other employment placement programs, going to school, anything like that. It's mainly people who are involved in just basic job search who have been on assistance for at least a year. So that could be on assistance three times, four times each, or for an extended single period of time.
In terms of who the employers are these employers who already have jobs, or will the employers be compensated for having?
No. These are employers who already have jobs. So they have vacancies. There aren't any employer incentives. So employers do not receive a wage subsidy or any type of incentive except a good employee.
Does my worker, I had an update of the 29th of April.
Yes.
Is it up to me to approach my worker in regards that I want to get involved in this, or should she say to me?
The worker would approach you, because what basically happens is off our technology, the workers get a list of people who meet the criteria. So if you are one of those people who have been on assistance more than a year, all those kinds of things, your name will come up eventually and you'll be contacted. You'll be contacted to come into the office, change your participation agreement.
Okay, I saw her on the 29th. Now, she never said nothing to me, so I took my own incentive to go to Bay and George Street up to talk to the secretary. She sounded like she was programmed. You have to see your worker. It didn't matter what I asked her, you have to see your worker.
Yeah.
So I was a little frustrated, so I went back 2 days later, and I'm standing at the wall reading the flyers. Now, one of the unemployment agents, three questions to ask her, okay, in regards to a job. I said, I don't know nothing about computers. Can I get a job here? She said, yes. I said, I have a criminal record. Can you give me a job here? She said, yes. I have no driver's license. I mean, you have a job here? She says, just go see your worker.
Well,
I couldn't believe it.
Well, that isn't really, like all those things are absolutely true, but because it's a pilot project, it is only set people whose names come up on this list that are being referred to this, because there's an evaluation component, all that kind of thing. But what I would suggest you do is contact your worker and ask her, am I one of the people who are going to be sent to jobs now? And if I am, can I go earlier?
Frustrating for people, because then they get their hopes up high only to be squashed once again.
But do you know what? What I think that you should also understand is the Ontario Works Program also has many of those jobs too. So the best thing that you can do as well is, if you aren't one of those jobs now identified clients, is to contact your worker and ask to be sent to employment placement within the OW program, because we have hundreds of jobs as well.
WCG, or now Jobs Now,
yeah,
that was dictated to you by the province,
yes,
and you didn't have any choice in choosing a company?
We were chosen as one of the pilot sites. Yeah.
But you didn't get to choose, like the province dictated who was going to be this paid agency, this Jobs Now?
The province dictated, they chose, because it's a pilot project, to do business with that specific company. Province that contracted, not us. But because it's a pilot project, it's time limited, and the province has stated that if this turns out to be a successful, then it would go out to an RFP and it would be a competitive process, as it would usually be.
So is that what you're telling the agency?
Yes, we are.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we are. So, but I can understand how they would be frustrated with that in the meantime.
How long is the pilot project?
We are going to be referring clients until the end of January. But the pilot project actually goes on with Jobs Now 18 months after that, because then they're going to be doing the job retention and everything. Then there's an evaluation after that. So we probably won't get the final findings for at least a couple of years.
So on average, do we have 277 jobs per month being created by the private sector in Hamilton?
I would say that on average, certainly through the Ontario Work database for employers, there are at least that. But, you know, taking into account that every job isn't suitable for every person, dependent upon skills and background and all that sort of thing, yes.
So if you happen to get 277 new employers, or employers who have more than one position available, and then you have enough people to fill those, and we'll have 277 new jobs in the city, what we're saying. If for some reason or not, we don't have enough employers who are offering jobs, that data will become available to the public. So what I'm saying is, it's essentially this. I do believe that people on Ontario Works want to work.
Yes.
Right? And there may be some barriers.
I do too.
And so if we're not having enough employment growth for people to get off Ontario Works, then we'll probably figure this out at the end of this.
I think it would help inform that type of an issue, yeah. Because I absolutely agree, if the labor market isn't there with the jobs, it's an issue, yeah.
They're not offering any training incentive in this package, are they?
No, they're not.
You either have to have the skills to suit the job?
Yes, yeah. They will do some short-term training. For example, if somebody needs a specific computer training, you know, short-term for a specific job, that kind of thing, but not long-term intensive training, no.
What range of jobs typically would there be?
They say that there's a wide range of jobs. I saw a sample of the kind of jobs that they have, and at this point in time, I would say the majority of jobs are in the service sector, in the lower scale.
Yeah.
But what they also say as well is that they see it as a positive thing to have the entry-level jobs to get people into employment, and then from there, during that 18 months, work with them to go on to even a better job.
Okay.
So they see that as being a part of their service.
I dealt with one young fellow a few months ago around Christmas time who was going to DeFasco for a new new job, OW. But because of a screw-up, and I can't remember all the details, but he was required to have work boots to attend that job. And to make a long day short, I just went down to the Real McCoy's and bought a pair of work boots. Someday, maybe you'll buy somebody else a pair of work boots.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what bothered me was that he couldn't smoothly transfer into that job because of this.
Through Ontario Works?
Well, because of this issue of having the equipment.
Oh, that's a shame. That shouldn't happen.
Well, I don't know. I didn't want to go
to
through
it.
All that
yeah.
rigmarole.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because we have the funds, we have the processes in place where we should be doing that. So I'm sorry to hear that. That shouldn't happen.
But all I wanted him to do was go to get his job
yeah.
that day.
Yeah.
I'm concerned if there's ever issues with equipment or safety equipment or anything that a person might need.
We help with those things,
oh.
and that shouldn't be a problem. If it is, I think that we've got a problem internally, because that's a very important benefit that we do offer people. Volunteer work, employment placement, pre-employment programs. So we're still going to continue to offer our employment programs as well as the jobs now.
Yeah, in regards to the worker, like if you were to get a job this Monday, you got to go through the channels very quickly with your worker to get that money to get down to Giant Tiger to get those work boots on Monday morning. You've lost your job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to be pretty quick. So your worker, you usually get a voicemail with her. She's got to call you back.
Yes.
Now, if you don't have a phone, you have to sit in Hamilton Housing up on Napier Street for her to call you back, because there's no way she can get in touch with you, telling you to come in and get your check, or you can get work clothes to get to work on Monday.
In something like that, I would really suggest press zero. So that you can be in touch with somebody else. Because as I said earlier on, it's really important to us that we be very timely in helping people. If you've got a job offer and you need work boots or anything like that, and you haven't heard back from your worker in a good enough time, I would phone back and press zero or ask to speak to the manager or something like that, because we're just as eager to help out in that area for sure. Yeah.
Does that mean everybody who's potential, is that 2,700 cover everybody who's in the caseload is potentially eligible?
No, it doesn't.
It probably doesn't. So people are going to have to at least have some understanding that there will be some people left out.
Mm-hmm.
And why?
It's true. We've been focusing on those people who are going to be referred to jobs now, but I think it's a great idea just to do a general information for everybody so that they understand.
Yeah. I want to switch gears and ask a couple of questions sort of from a provincial perspective. You may not be able to answer these questions, but I'm going to ask. What was your thinking, Dean, when the province approached you about this? There's some feeling or some sense that the province came with sort of the, you are going to do this, you're going to do this this way. There wasn't much in the way of negotiation around how this is going to be implemented. What kind of role would you as the local service manager is going to have in terms of evaluating the performance of this company, dealing with the issues that are of general concern out there, that some people may end up feeling pressured by this company because of them wanting to get results, and sort of just the whole monitoring of that from your perspective?
It was a political decision.
And that's what I would have said too.
It was a totally political discussion.
And Joanne and I, basically, it was a done deal.
Does that mean politicians on both sides of the equation were
yes.
involved?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I would say politician on both sides was involved.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Locally and provincially, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay, and as far as the evaluation goes, we're very pleased that there's going to be an evaluation component to it for sure. The province has contracted with a separate evaluation firm to conduct the evaluation. So it's not going to be by the province, it's not going to be by us, it's going to be by a separate company. And we're just at the point now talking about indicators, outcomes, how it's going to be measured, all that kind of thing.
But you're getting the chance to give some input
to this.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, because that's a very important part of it.
You get feedback as well?
Yes.
Get all of that?
Yes. And I don't have a lot of information that I can share about this, about that part of it, because it hasn't been confirmed.
No,
but I'd be glad to come back at some other time when I have better information. Actually, we're going to be talking about it with the company that's doing the evaluation and the province on Friday. So after Friday, I think I'd be able to give better information about that, okay?
If we had any ideas, because I would like to look at an indicator that
first of all, showed the type of job that is being offered,
yes,
and the potential growth and the growth,
yes,
in salary. So if someone's starting at minimum wage, are we looking at, you know, ending off at $30 an hour? Are we looking at, you know, ending off at $9 an hour?
I felt exactly the same as you. I think that that's a great indicator.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And just a short reminder that if you're interested in finding out more about the CAWDB, they meet the second and the last Wednesday of every month at the First Pilgrims United Church. That's on Main Street East. That's right down there across from the Tim Hortons. It's at 1 o'clock, that meeting. And that's about it this week. Hope you have a good week. We're going to be doing some more talk on social services this month. Hopefully next week we'll be on the NCB. Bye for now.
Redefining Radio.
CFM Radio.